Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. There was a certain rich man who clothed himself in purple and fine linen, and who feasted luxuriously every day. At his gate lay a certain poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. Lazarus longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Instead, dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. While being tormented in the place of the dead, he looked up and saw Abraham at a distance with Lazarus at his side. He shouted, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm suffering in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, whereas Lazarus received terrible things. Now Lazarus is being comforted and you are in great pain. Moreover, a great crevasse has been fixed between us and you. Those who wish to cross over from here to you cannot. Neither can anyone cross from there to us." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. He needs to warn them so they don't come to this place of agony." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They must listen to them." The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will change their hearts and lives." Abraham said, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." Bless the word.
Please pray with me. God of the prophets, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak your word to us and seal it within us that we may heed your call. Amen. I could see everyone sort of tensing up after the reading or during the reading and thinking like, oh no, we're talking about money and wealth again and how awful it is to have it. This passage is a little bit easier than last week's. So, in some respects, you're right. That's part of what's happening in this passage. But like I mentioned last week, it's not about money itself or having money that Jesus has a problem with. It's more about how you obtained that money and then what you do with it that matters. Jesus is telling us that not only can we not depend on earthly riches to save us, but sometimes it actually creates rifts between us and God, as well as one another. So one of the things that stood out to me right away when I was reading this was the multiple points of contrast between the rich man and Lazarus throughout the parable. And as we move along in the story, those points of contrast become more, they become exacerbated and they sort of reverse. So we're presented with two worlds, within worlds. And at first, we're just given the earthly realm. And we may meet this unnamed rich man. He's clothed in purple, the color of royalty, and linen, the finest fabric at the time. And not only does the rich man eat every day, he feasts on luxurious, sumptuous foods. Now, those of us who have been to a Glenshaw Valley potluck know that there are always leftovers. And one would imagine the rich man also had more than he could reasonably consume each day. By contrast, The poor man is given a name in this parable, Lazarus. He's been laid outside of the gate of the rich man's house. He's clothed only in weeping sores. Who knows the last time he's even had a bite to eat, let alone a full meal. Some of the rich man's leftovers would have been a feast unto itself for Lazarus. And all he longed for, really, were just a few crumbs. You know, if he could have just had some, like, just tossed his way. But he was never even granted that. Amongst all of the contrasts between the two men, it's the distances between them that really strikes me as important. As Lazarus lays outside of the gate of the rich man's home, the physical distance between them is not very far. But still, that gate, that's a very physical, it's a clear physical boundary between the rich man and Lazarus. And we could probably say that there's a wealth gap between the two. But I would propose that that is much more of like a cavern than a gap. One has all the resources he'll ever need to satisfy any whim he could ever, you know, come up with in his head. And the other one barely has enough to quench his thirst. One has friends and family of similar means who can help out in a pinch, and while the other's friends, they don't know what else to do except to lay him outside the home of someone who might take pity on him. And the gulf between the way these two people experience the world is just immeasurably wide and deep. They don't run in the same social circles. Jesus doesn't tell us about the rich man going out to speak to or even acknowledging the existence of Lazarus while they're both living. Did the rich man even see Lazarus? Even know he was there? Even if he passed him every single day, did he see Lazarus? That's something that happens to us all the time, here and now. Like, how often do we leave the comfort and safety of our own neighborhood? How often do we pass a panhandler and do our very best to just avert our eyes and look anywhere but at that person? Bridges and highways may seem to connect us to various parts of the city, but they also serve as very clear boundaries to separate racial and socioeconomic classes. We create purposely uncomfortable benches in parks to prevent people from sitting there too long. There are literal laws on the books that can send someone to jail for resting somewhere they're not supposed to. So there's this like distance between us. So we don't have to see them. Do we see Lazarus? Do we know his name? And while I was thinking about these distances, I was reminded of Michelangelo's Creation of Adam. You know, it's the one that's painted on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Vatican City. People have been fascinated by the artistry and the details of that ceiling for 500 years. And what they keep coming back to is that little tiny space between Adam and God's fingers. If you were to climb to the ceiling and measure the distance between those fingers, that's only 3/4 of an inch. they're so close. Like when you're standing on the floor and looking up, it can seem like they actually are connected. But art historians and theologians have been interpreting that teeny tiny space between Adam and God as a chasm that spans light years. In the painting, Adam is reclined, and he seems almost relaxed, maybe lethargic. If Adam just put in the minimal amount of effort, if he just extended his finger, he would easily reach God's hand. Does Adam expect God to do all of the work here? Does he not know that he has agency and the ability to make some effort when it comes to connecting with God? But maybe this is also a matter of perspective. Like from the way that Adam is sitting and his arm is resting on his knee, can he see that the distance between God's finger and his is so close? Or does it seem much bigger? Is it possible that Adam doesn't even see God reaching out to him? Maybe God is actually invisible to Adam as God is invisible to us. And we only see God depicted because Michelangelo wanted us to know the full context. That tiny little space. So back in our parable, after death, there's a reversal of the contrasts between the two men. The rich man is buried, and he's in the place of the dead. I do want to be clear that this is not hell. It's a Greek thing. But while the rich man is in the place of the dead, Lazarus is carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus is comforted in death, but the rich man experiences pain, hunger, and thirst. The rich man has no one to advocate for him, while Lazarus has Abraham, who is known for his hospitality. The two men are now separated instead of, you know, just the gate outside of the home. They're now separated by a great crevasse. It's no longer possible for them to touch one another. But now we know that the rich man can see Lazarus. It's just too late. Come back to that tiny space between God and Adam. The angels that are surrounding God, they're lifting and supporting and the stretching and straining God. God is, he's just reaching out with everything. God reached out to us through Moses and the prophets. Jesus literally broke through the physical realm to understand and love us. We've been given the Word and the Holy Spirit. God has bent over backwards, making an effort to reach out to us. And Adam laid back, barely making that effort. And I wonder if I'm Adam. Am I making a good faith attempt to connect both to God and with God's people? Sometimes that distance between us seems just so far. The difference is so incompatible. It's really inconvenient to cross a river. It's scary to ask a stranger their name. It feels strange to read old stories and talk to an invisible God. But it's not too late. The distance is not too far. We have support. We can still tear down the gates and walls that separate us and replace them with bridges that connect us. All we have to do, all Jesus is asking for, is to make an effort. To open your eyes and just see the people that are around you. Lift your finger, just that one, just lift it, just straighten it, and see that God's touch is right there. And we can eliminate the distance between us. Thanks be to God. Amen.